you're looking for homeschool sanity, welcome. I'm Dr. Melanie Wilson, Christian psychologist turned homeschool mom and curriculum author. But I was once so disorganized, I thought I had to quit homeschooling and stop having kids. Now, by the grace of God, I have 6 homeschool graduates. Whether we're discussing parenting, productivity, or practical tips, I pray that this episode is just what you need for happy, healthy homeschooling. Hey, homeschoolers. One of the most common questions I get from homeschooling parents has to do with their child's ability to manage emotions. The number one emotion I am asked about is anxiety, followed by frustration, and then finally boredom. Boredom can look like a child not being motivated to do schoolwork, or can look like a child getting into trouble and causing conflict with siblings as a result. One of the ways that we think about this issue, I think, can be problematic for us. And I believe that I was guilty of this as well. And that is when a child struggles to manage emotions, that we can tend to think of it as a character flaw rather than what it is, which is a skill deficit. We don't teach children, even today in this age of enlightenment in public schools where they attempt to teach kids these life skills, we do not teach kids how to manage their emotions well. And as a result, people grow and become adults and have not yet mastered that ability to manage their emotions. And so they have to see a $150 to $200 per hour psychologist or therapist in order to learn those skills. And that is something that really bothers me. It was absolutely something that I wanted to teach my own kids. But here was the problem. I was a psychologist. I knew what to teach them, but I didn't have a plan for teaching these skills. And there are so many of them in addition to all of the language arts concepts I wanted them to learn and all of the math skills that I wanted them to learn. And we could go on and on through every school subject. And there are a lot of areas where you have particular things that are important to you to teach your kids. And so at the end of the day, these emotional management skills get put on the back burner. We try to talk about them as we go. We might do a Bible study about them, but we don't take explicit teaching time for these emotional management skills. So what I wanted to do in this episode, rather than telling you exactly how to teach a child to manage anxiety and to prevent frustration and negative consequences of handling it poorly, and finally, how to deal with boredom, how to teach a child to deal with boredom, I want to give you a 3-step framework that I use every time I am thinking about how to teach one of these emotional skills. And it's very simple, and I think it will help you make plans for how to teach your kids in these particular emotional skill areas. So the first step is prevention. When a parent comes to me and says, "My child is so riddled with anxiety and I just don't know what to do," that is the place I start. I want to know, what is the child's day-to-day life like? Is your child getting enough sleep? And that is going to be important no matter what the emotional issue is. And it isn't just a matter of enough sleep, but is your child's sleep schedule consistent? Without a consistent sleep schedule, your child is more vulnerable to having problematic emotions to cope with. So we want to make sure that we are generally going to bed at the same time every night, generally getting up around the same time every morning. That is more important even than getting the exact same number of hours of sleep per night. So, for example, if you happen to have a late night, you will actually feel better, and so will your child, if you get up at the regular time. Well, what are you supposed to do about that missing hour of sleep? Your child will be better off taking a nap. If your child refuses to nap, just isn't able to nap, then I would have that child have a rest time where they're in their bed, just lying quietly. They could read or something else that's going to be more conducive to sleep. And of course, by reading, I am suggesting that that would be a paper book, a print book, rather than a digital device, because we know that that blue light can interfere with sleep. So number one, I'm going to ask you about sleep. Good, consistent sleep, enough sleep is going to help prevent these problematic emotions from overcoming our child. The next thing I want to know is about diet. And when it comes to anxiety in particular, I want to know, is your child getting caffeine? We know that teens are really enjoying the energy drinks, and I would say that teens at younger and younger ages are having coffee drinks. I know my own kids have been interested in drinking coffee before I was ever interested in it, which I really wasn't for the most part. But caffeine is a very negative, I would call it an additive, that kids can have in their diet, especially when they are suffering from anxiety. It's putting fuel on the fire. So we want to severely limit the amount of caffeine that a teen is getting in the diet if they are suffering from anxiety. Next, if you have a child who is anxious, you want to avoid unnecessary anxiety. What do I mean by that? So first, you do not want your child watching, listening to news on social media and taking in media that is going to increase anxiety unnecessarily. We don't need to know about all the problems around the world and all the doomsday scenarios that could happen. That is unnecessary information that will increase anxiety. And if you are an anxious person, I really urge you to consider cutting out that kind of content from your life. It is not doing you any good. You will not keep yourself safe by having that access to that material. What you can do instead is you can have someone who doesn't suffer from anxiety keep you informed about anything that you really, truly need to know. So that is an example of the types of things that I would be looking for when it comes to prevention. But there are more. We'll stop with that just to give you a sense of what I mean. Look at your child's environment, their diet, the sleep schedule again when you are looking to help your child prevent negative emotions. Next, we want to move from prevention to recognition. We want our kids to learn to recognize the signs that their emotions, their negative emotions, are beginning to take hold. They're beginning to influence them. And kids don't know what those signs are unless they have been taught. Yes, some kids just implicitly pick up this information and learn these things, but others need to be specifically taught. And you would be surprised by the percentage of people who need to be explicitly taught these things. So when it comes to frustration this time, we want to teach our kids to notice when they begin to get frustrated. There might be a tightness in the stomach. there might be some tension in the shoulders. That is what happens to me when I get frustrated. I might start frowning. I might start gritting my teeth and just noticing overall some muscle tension. I might start talking more loudly. I might begin to say some things to express my frustration. I might handle my computer mouse more roughly and start tapping it or even hitting it on the table because I'm beginning to get very frustrated. And if kids haven't been taught how to identify and be on the lookout for those signs that they're beginning to get frustrated, they aren't going to be able to substitute an appropriate constructive response to that emotion. So we want to help them be on the lookout, and we want to talk about our own signs of frustration, for example, so that they can help us as well. Kids can be a great help and coach to us in this regard. So we want to teach them to recognize the signs, to be on the lookout. And then, as I mentioned, the next step is substitution. Perhaps when your child is anxious, they just shut down, they start crying, they go to their room, they refuse to do any of the activities that they would normally enjoy. When a child is frustrated, they might scream, they might get into a fight with a sibling, they might break something. They might just completely shut down and run to their room and be unwilling to complete any schoolwork or participate with you in family activities. What can we do that is a constructive answer to the emotion? So let's talk now about boredom. If you have a child who is bored, what are the destructive behaviors that your child is choosing to engage in to deal with that emotion? Perhaps your child sneaks off and begins playing video games when that is forbidden. It's during school hours and your child is bored and that is how they've chosen to do it. Perhaps your child begins to nitpick and starts a fight with a sibling because that is more exciting than being bored. Perhaps your child just stares off into space and doesn't complete schoolwork because the schoolwork is too boring for them. It could be any number of less constructive activities and responses that our kids choose to deal with their emotions. So we want to teach them more adaptive responses when it comes to boredom. Could we teach our kids how to make less exciting activities more fun? So we might say, use a timer, use a randomizing app or a pair of dice to roll and choose an activity that you're going to work on first. Could you have a competition with yourself to try to get your work done faster than you've ever gotten it done before? If you like to compete with siblings and you're not having a lot of conflict already, then you could compete with a sibling in that regard. But the most constructive way to deal with a feeling of boredom is to try something new. We know that new activities give all of us, not just our kids, a hit of dopamine and are very, very rewarding. And there are so many great things to do and learn. We have no shortage of options. If you want to learn more about that, I did an entire episode on doing new things in your homeschool. And I'm also going to link you up to the episodes I did on anxiety and frustration if you're looking for more on those topics. But these three steps, I think, will guide you as a parent into teaching your kids how to manage negative emotions. The thing that I want to emphasize is that these skills require long periods of time to master and hours and hours and hours of practice and feedback from us as parents and from other family members. We want to treat our kids' first attempts at managing their negative emotions the same way that we would deal with a child who is learning to play tennis, for example. We wouldn't yell at a child or suggest that a child was a failure or a bad person if they kept hitting the ball into the net to begin with. And they would hit the ball into the net a lot as they are just learning to play tennis. Our kids are going to keep learning emotional management skills throughout their lives. I am still learning. You are likely still learning how to manage emotions well. So we want to give our kids lots of grace. And finally, and most importantly, we want to encourage our kids to pray about this issue. I think one of the things that I made a mistake in my parenting, and I believe many of us as Christian parents do, is that I wanted my kids to have to avoid any struggles in their lives. I wanted them to just learn how to manage their feelings in a positive way right away without having to experience all the negative consequences that I did as a young person. But many, many times, the struggle to manage emotions is what will drive our kids to the Lord ultimately. When our kids say, I can't do it, I can't get a handle on my temper, I can't get over my anxiety, I keep struggling to get things done, I'm procrastinating, and Lord, you're going to have to do this in my life because I cannot. It may be the very thing that drives our kids to faith and following Jesus. I just want to encourage you with that. One of the great difficulties that we have as homeschooling parents, I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, is that we don't know how to teach this along with everything else that we want and need to teach to our kids. Next week, I will be sharing how we can teach our kids social skills. And I'll also be introducing you to a new resource that I have created that will help you teach your kids in an orderly way that will give you confidence as a homeschooling parent. To find the links to this episode, go to homeschoolsanity.com/emotions. Have a happy homeschool week. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. I hope something you heard was encouraging. If you have a personal question to follow up, don't hesitate to message me. I'm at Homeschool Sanity on social media. Be sure to check my free resource page at homeschoolsanity.com/resource and find Sanity Saving Curriculum at fundalearnbooks.com. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.